Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, December 5th, 2019. Hope you all had a good Thanksgiving. We'll start with a story titled Good Neighbors, Children Send Encouragement to DACC. This is written by Carol Rome in Danville, and there's a picture of Mead Park Elementary School fourth grader Neve Farid on the left, who looks at Caleb Heil's card as Davian Johnson and Cheyenne Carol Roam. Like I said, that's in Danville. Mead Park Elementary School fourth graders hope to send some encouragement to Danville Area Community College students who will be taking final exams next week. Elizabeth Benjamin, a fourth grade teacher and sponsor of the school's problem solving club, said she plans to deliver 100 cards Friday to the college with encouraging messages that are being handmade by the entire fourth grade at Mead Park. She said the after school club tries to do a school or community project every month. We do a lot with the school, Benjamin said. We make monthly videos that showcase the school and write the monthly newsletter that features a student from each grade. They delivered treat bags to the staff in October and made a video in November about what I'm thankful for, with each grade level talking about the teacher they are thankful for, she said. Making cards for the DACC students, however, is the biggest project the club has tackled thus far. DACC is one of our partners in education, she said. After the club met Monday afternoon and decided to make the cards, Benjamin said the club members quickly realized they were going to need help making as many as 100 cards. That's when all three of the school's fourth grade classes were called into action. The children had their choice of clever card designs such as Rock Your Exams with two guitars, Reach the Stars with two stars, and You're One Smart Cookie with a chocolate chip cookie. The students used this imagination and creativity to color the illustrations. Some of them decorated their own card with their own design, Benjamin added. The children also wrote an encouraging message inside the card, such as good luck on your exams. I think it's amazing, Laura Williams, Dean of Adult Education and Literacy at DACC, said of the children's efforts. Williams said DACC President Stephen Nacko challenges his expanded cabinet of 40 staff and administrators every month to come up with a BHAG, meaning Big, Hairy, Audacious Goal. Williams's BHAG is to help school children at the neighboring Mead Park develop a strong connection to DACC and Think College. We want to be good neighbors and build a relationship with Mead, she said. We want the children to know that college is real and something you might want to do someday. Benjamin said the card making activity has given her the opportunity to talk to her students about good student habits and future academic aspirations. We're an avid school, so we've talked about college and the importance of exams, she said, referring to Advancement Via Individual Determination program. Fourth grader Contravion Sloan has an idea of what a college level exam must be like. They're harder than the exams we have to take, he said knowingly. Fellow classmate Cheyenne Jenkins was eager to make a card for a DACC student because her sister attends DACC. She wants to be a nurse, Cheyenne said. One student's mom goes to DAC, Benjamin said. She puts her mom's name on the front of the card and hopes she will get the card. Plans to continue the partnership with Mead Park and DACC will include visits from male mentors from the college who will talk to a group of fourth grade boys dubbed Rice's Regulators, named after Mead Park Principal Chris Rice. We have a large group of fourth grade boys this year, and Rice's Regulators gives the kids some responsibilities, like volunteering at some of our school activities, Rice said. Williams said a total of 11 men from DACC and the community, ranging from professors, instructors, and coaches to President Stephen Nacko and Mayor Ricky Williams Jr., have volunteered to speak to Rice's Regulators throughout the rest of the school year. This is a mutually beneficial relationship where kids can thrive off of the things we do here at DACC, Laura Williams said. It's the right thing to do. They're our neighborhood, and we need to be responsible for our neighbors. Okay, the next story is titled City Continues Carl Discussions, and this is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. Additional discussion about Carl's proposed $70 million Carl at the Riverfront Medical Campus, which would close Logan Avenue from north of North Street to south of Leon's Diner, was initiated at Tuesday night's Danville City Council meeting by the alderman who has been most vocal against the road closure, where two aldermen, Dan Duchesne, brought up constituent concerns about the additional traffic that will be added to Gilbert Street with the partial Logan closure. He asked about traffic counts and capacities on Gilbert Street. Duchesne said they need to look at how much the change will tax Gilbert Street and the impact of on all drivers, some of his constituents who hate driving on Gilbert Street, in addition to the additional seconds for ambulances. According to Illinois Department of Transportation statistics dating from 2014, the portion of Logan Avenue to be closed can see about 5,900 average daily vehicles. IDOT data from 2017 shows 19,600 average daily traffic on Gilbert Street north of Main Street. City engineer Sam Cole said IDOT officials have been studying the impact to the state route, Gilbert Street, and the side streets with the Logan closure. Those studies are not yet completed, Cole said. He added that Carl will be looking to mitigate any problems so they don't become a taxpayer issue. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said he's heard the section of Logan Avenue to be closed sees about 4,500 vehicles a day. Williams said IDOT officials have initially indicated no additional lanes, widening, or changes on Gilbert Street would be needed to accommodate additional traffic. Williams estimated Carl has spent $1 million to $2 million on the approximately 100 properties needed for their new campus. He said the Logan closure is needed for Carl's future development. He said the city hasn't proceeded with eminent domain on the remaining properties needed as negotiations continue. Cole added that Carl has been proactively working with the city and IDOT to look at the impacts. While we don't have exact answers, we do feel good about the direction that it's headed, Cole said. Williams reminded aldermen about a past council meeting's closed session with not all current aldermen. Carl needed to know whether the city was willing to work with it to close the street for the project. Williams said no alderman spoke against it. So they've gone ahead with this plan based upon this support that we gave them and the good it will that we extended them, he said. Williams said he thinks it's troubling now and it sets a horrible precedent for future developers if the city tells someone ahead of time they'll work with them to make a project happen. And when it gets hot in the kitchen, city officials now say they're not going to do it. He said, what about future stores and factories that want to build here? Is our word good anymore? Williams asked the alderman. Williams also questioned how serious medical emergencies are if someone goes to the hospital not in an ambulance, and how soon are people being seen at the emergency room. If it's not within a minute, we have some work to do there too, he said. Ward 2 Alderman Rick Strebing said he has told constituents to attend city council meetings to voice their opinions on the project. I don't have a whole lot of people complaining about it, he said. We know it's coming. OSF knew it was coming. Ward 7 Alderman Steve Foster said they need to look at doing what's best for the public's overall health and betterment of the community. Aldermen are expected to act on the Logan Avenue closure at 6 p.m. on December 17th City Council meeting. There will be a special public works meeting prior to the meeting at 5 p.m. at the Roberts E. Jones Municipal Building at 17 West Main Street, just on the Carl's items. Also Tuesday, the city's new comptroller, Ashley Massey, was sworn in, and the council heard the city's bond rating has improved to BBB, stable outlook. The city's bond rating with Monday's investor service had been downgraded from A3 to BAA2, one level above junk bond, due to the city's pension and other debt. Former city comptroller Shelley Scott in September talked about a 2009 general obligation bonds refunding opportunity of possibly about $87,000. The city would see about $79,660 after fees were taken out. Alderman gave Williams the go-ahead Tuesday to also proceed with a 2007 bond refunding opportunity to see about $10,000 in savings. In other business, council members approved three agreements with Danville School District 118 concerning school resource officers providing reciprocal reporting of criminal offenses committed by students and providing the police and fire department emergency access to school security video feeds and radio frequencies. Council members also approved a budget amendment of $102,982 in the city's information technology budget for computer and network systems security upgrades to reduce cyber security threats and transferring about $165,000 in community development block grant money to demolish the former Harwell Hotel building. Okay, the next story is titled December's First Friday Geared Toward Adults, More Activities Saturday. This is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. A his and her Christmas movie double feature at the Fisher Theater and a restaurant and bar crawl is the theme for December's First Friday in downtown Danville geared for more for adults. The following day will be additional winter's gathering activities for all ages, including store discounts, carriage rides, the showing of the movie Elf at the Fisher, and Santa at his house. Downtown Danville Incorporated Board President Amy McKinley said adults can enjoy a night out for First Friday this month. Saturday will be more family-oriented, McKinley said. The first Jingle Bell Hop restaurant and bar crawl will begin at 6 p.m. Friday and last throughout the evening. Participating locations extend beyond the immediate downtown area, spreading the cheer even further. Participants include Fat Man's Warehouse, 610 Tap, The Big Four, Rich's Deluxe, Love and Cup Food Truck, Vermilion River Beer Company, The Pub, and South Street Saloon. A map of all participating locations will be available at Downtown Merchants, the DDI office, Senior Source Danville, and at various bars and restaurants included in the fun. Pick up a map and show it on arrival at each location to receive their special offers. In addition, Friday, the Fisher Theater will play the movies Love Actually at 6 p.m. and Die Hard at 9 p.m. Tickets are $8 for the double feature and are available for purchase at the Fisher Theater box office between 4 and 7 p.m. each evening through Showtime. From 11 to 2 p.m. on Saturday, Santa will be in his house at Temple Plaza at North and Vermilion Streets, welcoming children and taking note of their Christmas wishes. This is a free photo opportunity, and Santa welcomes all children, kids at heart, and even pets. Carriage rides and other activities are also planned at 2 p.m. and again at 6 p.m. The Fisher Theater will show the movie Elf. Tickets can be purchased for $5 at the theater box office also between 4 and 7 p.m. through Friday and 11 to 2 p.m. on Saturday. Most downtown merchants will be open during Saturday's winter gathering celebration. Several are featuring special discounts. These community events are held to drive energy and excitement downtown and to increase traffic for our downtown merchants, McKinley said in a press release. We encourage everyone to enjoy the event activities and take the time to visit the businesses. The store owners are hardworking and friendly. Let them know how much we appreciate what they bring to the community. Cafe 13, Love and Cup, The Deluxe, and Green Island will be open for food and drinks. Gold Rush Pawn Brokers, Flea Pickers USA, Glory Days, Vintage Villains, Chart Records, Downtown Diamond and Pawn, Heartland Fair, Merle Norman, Mud and Honey, Back Alley Creations, Sweet Repeats, and Fancy that will be open and offering a variety of special and unique gift buying opportunities. Senior Source Danville and DC Fitness also offer memberships as gift options. Santa also will be at his house at Temple Plaza from 11 to 2 p.m. on December 14th and 21st. Kids can leave Santa a letter in the mailbox at his house. Santa will respond to each letter, and each note from Santa will be stamped from the North Pole. Templates for the letters are available at several downtown merchants and at the DDI office at 149 North Vermilion Street. Okay, now we'll run through the obituaries. Betty A. Haas, 92, of Danville, passed away at 1:16 p.m. December 2nd. A celebration of life will be at 10 a.m. Monday, December 9th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Minister Dale McNeil will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday, December 8th at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made in Betty's name to Second Church of Christ in Danville. Ronald Dean Wagel, 70, passed away on December 4th at his home near Bismarck following an extended illness. A celebration of life will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, December 7th at St. James United Methodist Church with Reverend Randall L. Robinson and Pastor Greg Boylan officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, December 6th at St. James UMC. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that you help to honor Ron's life with a contribution to the building fund at St. James UMS. Marcus Sean Lisby, 37, of Danville, passed away on Friday, November 29th at his home. Homecoming services will commence at noon on Saturday, December 7th at New Life Church of Faith at 1419 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Visitation will be 11 a.m. until time of the service. Pastor Daryl Hunter, officiant. Pastor Thomas Miller, eulogist. There will be a public viewing from 1 to 5 p.m. on Friday, December 5th at Leek & Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street in Danville. May Bell Richards, 83, of Danville, passed away at 2:25 p.m. November 29th at her home in Danville. A celebration of life will be at 11 a.m. Friday, December 6th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Pastor James Blue will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday, December 6th at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made to the donor's choice. E. Wayne Wynn of Oakwood passed away Monday, December 2nd at Amber Glen Care Center in Urbana, Illinois. A celebration of life service will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, December 7th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Officiating will be Reverend Glenn Corbley. Burial will be in Pleasant Grove in Oakwood. Visitation will be just prior to the service from 9 to 11 a.m. at the funeral home. Memorial donations in Wayne's name may be made to the Wounded Warrior Project or to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Virginia Jenny M. Pierce Thompson, 81, of Danville, passed away December 2nd, surrounded by her family. A celebration of Virginia's life will be Saturday, December 7th at Southside Church of Christ at 611 South Forest in Danville. Visitation at noon with service at 1 p.m. Kevin Ziegler officiating. Memorials appreciated to Southside Church of Christ. Delia Mae White passed away on Sunday, December 7th at home. A celebration of Delia's life will be Friday, December 6th at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. with the 91-year celebration of life following at noon. Officiating Pastor Timothy Shaw. Interment will be at Spring Hill Cemetery. Okay, the next story is titled Westville Holiday Event to Draw Vendors Santa. This is written by Mary Wyckoff in Westville. Heidi Tucker is proud to be from Westville. The people here are fantastic, she said. They help each other. It's amazing. That community spirit will be evident this weekend at the first Westville Hometown Holiday. The event is a fundraiser to expand the concession stand at Zamberletti Park, called Expand the Stand. More than 20 vendors and other activities will be featured from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday and 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday at St. Mary's Parish Hall. From 8 to 11 a.m. Saturday, there will be a pancakes and sausage breakfast and photos with Santa. At noon, the Westville Junior High Wildcats will perform. Tucker, who makes wreaths and centerpieces, came up with the idea a couple of months ago. Westville has never had a holiday event, and a lot of surrounding towns have them, she said. She approached Gary Delay, a city council member and a member of the park committee, and also approached other people. She was amazed at the response from people. St. Mary's Catholic Church and the Reverend Timothy Sopp donated use of the parish hall. Some of the proceeds from the event will go to the Zamberletti Park Capital Improvement Commission to enlarge and improve the concession stand. The Westville Recreation League and Westville Youth Football have partnered with the commission. Here are the highlights of the weekend. The 20 vendors, all local, will sell products such as crafts, jewelry, Avon, Mary Kay, candles, soaps, burlap bags, homemade t-shirts, Pampered Chef, Scentsy 21, crocheted and hand-sewn items, honey and wreaths, and centerpieces. Labor Day royalty will wrap gifts and will collect new or gently used board games for Santa's Anonymous. There will be door prizes donated by vendors with drawings every hour both days. There also will be a bake sale and a hot chocolate station. Tickets will be sold for a gun raffle and will continue for 2 months. There will be a 50-50 raffle as well. Free will donations will be accepted for the pancake breakfast. Santa will be there for photos. Parents may take their own photos or buy a package from Caitlin Paul Ward Photography. Tucker is excited about the variety of vendors and activities, saying there will be a little bit of something for everyone. It should be fun. Delhay said money for the concession stand project will come from the vendors' fees, bake sale, breakfast, the 50-50 raffle, and the firearms raffle. The community has always supported our efforts at the park, Delhay said. We hope to have a great turnout to support the ongoing improvements at Zamberletti Park. Tucker agreed, saying, let's hope it's a success so we can come back next year. As for the Zamberletti Park group, she said, the committee has been amazing. We have one of the nicest parks in the area. Both Delhay and Tucker appreciate the number of people and groups that have come together to put on this event. Okay, next story, excuse me, Judge Oakes dismisses lawsuit in Dillinger case written by Rick Callahan in Indianapolis. A judge dismissed a lawsuit Wednesday by a nephew of 1930s gangster John Dillinger, who wants to exhume the notorious criminal's Indianapolis gravesite to prove whether he's actually buried there, ruling that he must get the cemetery's permission. Marion County Superior Court Judge Timothy Oakes granted Crown Hill Cemetery's motion to dismiss Michael Thompson's lawsuit shortly after a hearing Wednesday, saying in his order that the Indiana law requires the cemetery's consent. The limited question before the court today is whether discernment may occur under the section of the statute without cemetery approval. Court finds the statutory requirements for this section of the statute are clear in the discernment requires that cemetery owner to give consent before disinterment may occur, Oakes writes. He added that Indiana law does not require that the cemetery have a valid, rational, or meaningful reason for withholding his consent. Thompson sued the cemetery after it objected to his plans to exhume the grave. Thompson said he has evidence Dillinger's body may not be buried there, and he may not have been the man FBI agents fatally shot outside a Chicago theater on July 22nd in 1934. Attorneys for Crown Hill Cemetery called that a decadal conspiracy. They opposed the exhumation, saying that Indiana's legislature has granted cemetery owners the right to protect its grave sites from unwarranted disturbances. The FBI issued a statement in August saying it was a myth that its agents didn't fatally shoot Dillinger outside the Chicago theater, and that a wealth of information supports Dillinger's demise, including fingerprint matches. Thompson obtained a permit in October from the Indiana State Department of Health that calls for the remains to be exhumed on December 31st. It wasn't immediately clear if his attorney plans to appeal the decision or file a new lawsuit. Attorneys for Crown Hill Cemetery argued that the state law in question specifies that a deceased person cannot be removed from a cemetery without the written consent of that cemetery, as well as a written order from the State Department authorizing the removal and the written consent of certain relatives of the deceased. In September, the History Channel dropped out of a planned documentary on Dillinger that would have included the exhumation. Thompson and another relative applied for the state exhumation permit after they obtained an early permit calling for a September 16th exhumation. That did not occur after cemetery officials objected to that. Next story, pair of shootings leaves man with wound to leg, and this is written by the staff in Danville. Danville police report officers are investigating whether a pair of shooting incidents Tuesday are related. The active evening began when officers responded at 6:40 p.m. to a resident in the 1300 block of Walnut in reference to a victim of a gunshot wound. Officers located a 31-year-old Danville man with a gunshot wound to his leg, according to a press release issue early Wednesday by Commander Joshua Webb. The victim stated he was inside the residence when he heard gunshots coming from outside. He stated several rounds went through the window and he was struck in the leg. The victim also said he didn't see who was shooting and was unable to provide a suspect description. The victim was transported to an area hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening wound. Officers spoke to several witnesses who observed a silver-colored car and a dark-colored car both leaving the area at a high rate of speed after the shooting. Police later responded at 9:23 p.m. to the area of Fairchild and Harmon Streets in reference to a report of shots fired. While responding, officers located a vehicle accident scene in the area of Fairchild and Walnut. At the scene of the accident, officers spoke with a 29-year-old Danville man who stated he was being chased and shot at by subjects who were in a dark-colored vehicle. The victim stated he was on Harmon approaching Fairchild when the suspect vehicle drove up behind him at a high rate of speed. The victim, according to the release, turned onto Fairchild and heard several shots, and he accelerated away from the area. The victim was fleeing. His vehicle hit another vehicle in the intersection of Fairchild and Walnut. There were no injuries reported due to the shooting. However, a 67-year-old man was transported to an area hospital for treatment for non-life-threatening injuries that he suffered when the victim's vehicle struck his vehicle. Police are also looking into whether these shootings and an earlier shooting in the 1100 block of Harmon on November 30th are related. The investigation into these incidents continues. Anyone with information regarding these incidents is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or call Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. Just quick community briefs. Danville fundraiser underway. The Danville chapter of Central Illinois Board of Realtors is conducting a 50-50 raffle to benefit the Danville Rescue Mission and the American Legion Honor Guard. There also will be a holiday market auction sponsored by our affiliate members at the December 13th luncheon. Raffle tickets are available for $20 by calling 443-2176. And in Rossville, aid to visit, an aide to Congressman John Shimkus, Illinois 15 will be in the Rossville Village office, 120 East Attica Street, from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Monday. Constituents who need assistance but are not available at that time can call the Congressman's Danville office at 217-446-0064. And Westville Hometown Holiday is set for 10 to 6 on Friday and 8 to 4 on Saturday at St. Mary's Parish Church. 20 craft vendors will attend, and there will be bake sales from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturday. There will be a pancake and sausage breakfast with Santa and photos. Labor Day Royalty will collect for Santa Anonymous and will wrap gifts. The event is a fundraiser called Raise the Stand to expand the concession stand in Zamberletti Park. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, December 5th, 2019. Enjoy the day. It's supposed to be nice and sunny and then maybe in the 50s. Who knows? Anyway, I hope you all have a good week, and I'll see you again next week. Bye. Take care.